This show contains discussions of violence, murder, abuse, suicide, some use of language, and other things that some people may find offensive. We don't recommend Crime Cafe for children under the age of 14. Listener discretion is advised. Today, we're telling a story that no one is ready for, a story no one wants to know is real. Today, we're telling multiple stories about one person, a babysitter, and how she was able to kill and kill and get away with it. Almost. This is the story of the murders of Nema Louise Carter, Mary Elizabeth Carpitcher, and the attempted murder of Augustine Carpitcher. If not the babysitter, who can we trust with our children? Welcome or welcome back to this episode of Crime Cafe Podcast. I'm Amber.
I'm Coral.
And this case is disgusting.
Amber's not ready for it.
No.
And I'm not either. And you're not either. And I'm upset. I hated researching this case. Not because I don't want to tell it, but because it's just so awful.
Yeah, that's sad.
This is probably like one of the most gruesome cases we've ever done.
And a fear that a ton of people have.
Right. Hopefully we can put those fears to rest, because we do have some statistics about babysitters later on. However, I'm sure that we can tell some stories about babysitters during the Bullshit and Banner segment. Okay, so just stay tuned. It's 1977 in Lawton, Oklahoma. On Halloween night, Rose and George Carter laid their 19-month-old Nema to bed in her crib at around 10:30 p.m. The parents said that after they left the room, Nema cried out a little bit, but they said they wanted to let her cry it out. Good old-fashioned 70s parenting. We're just going to let her scream and get a hoarse throat. A lot of parents do this to try and teach their kids to be on their own, learn how to self-soothe yourself, you know. It wasn't malicious. They were just doing that. You know how it be.
Oh, yeah. I will say that if you do the cry it out method, I think you're supposed to start with like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then go in. I know back in the day, I think they just kind of left you.
You went from sleeping with your parents, they just threw you in the bed, locked your door, like...
Yeah. So the next morning, Rose was horrified when she found that Nema was not in her crib. The nursery window was locked, as it had been the night before. None of the windows in the house were broken, and all the doors in the house were locked.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So they immediately call the police and submit a missing persons report. Police and loved ones search for Nema, but find no evidence of her. Police obviously start questioning her parents. They were both interrogated and given polygraphs, which they passed. The parents said they recalled that their dog was killed by poisoning a few months prior, so maybe someone was out to get their family.
Right. And investigators start to think that the motive is not sexual, because for some reason they think that if it were sexual, they would have found Nema by now. That must be something to do with like the pattern of somebody who kills for sexual. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's just what they said. The police noticed that the closet was big enough to hold a full-grown adult in it. And that's what led them to look at the Carter's babysitter, Jackie Rubidoux, who was either 17 or 18 at the time. As they were looking into her background, they noticed some peculiar things about her.
Jackie was a strange person. She would walk around the neighborhood and set fire alarms off. The fire departments were watching her closely. Jackie was a babysitter for other families, which that's not so uncommon. A lot of babysitters will set for multiple families. But what was uncommon was the fact that a child had died in her care, and the child's twin sister almost died as well. That is my worst fear, like when I was a teenager babysitting.
Yeah.
Was it something would happen to one of the kids?
And that's the difference between someone that cares and someone that doesn't. That's actually a fear of yours, you know?
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, it's scary when you're watching other people's children.
Yeah, not for Jackie. She's like, mm.
Yeah, real. So, this was a year earlier in April of 1976 with the Carpitcher family. The twins lived with their grandmother at the time. Augustine later testified that Jackie had entered their grandmother's living room where they were watching television on the afternoon of April 8th, 1976, and told them to come with her. They walked several blocks to the house where they were told to get into the refrigerator and that Aunt Thomasina would come to get them later and take them for ice cream.
Took them to an abandoned house and told them to get in the fridge. These babies are like three.
What in the world?
Yes.
So, a witness later comes forward and said that she saw Jackie dragging the two girls on the ground, and she said she heard the two girls crying, but she didn't want to get involved.
Yeah, and she put her first and last name out to the press. Why would you admit that and then give them your name? You want to get involved.
Literally.
I know we just said in the last episode we don't like to put our opinions in, but I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. Okay? That's messed up.
Yeah. And if you ever think you see something, just say something.
Why not go out there and say, what's going on? What are y'all doing? What's she going to do? She's 17.
Well, yeah, because it could have been nothing. Obviously, this wasn't nothing, but it could have been nothing. But you could have stopped an older sister from, you know, like carelessly dragging her little sisters down the street or
some siblings could anything. Literally kill each other.
Yeah.
Like, there's been times where even my cousins and I probably almost killed each other.
Well, and if you're an older sibling and you have to babysit the younger sibling, mm-hmm. you may be missing something with your friends. You're upset.
I've seen horrible fights between siblings.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Like, I've seen one where they chase the other with a taser.
Yeah.
Okay, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Intervene. They're children.
Yeah, some siblings are very dangerous to each other. So, Jackie returned to the Carpitcher house and acted as though she had no idea what happened.
Sociopath. Amber's literally gonna scream. Jackie was acting distraught and extremely upset over the missing twins. She was totally playing along with everyone. It would be 2 days later when a group of... I can't do this. It would be two days later when a group of playing kids heard crying noises coming from the abandoned house. When they inspected further, they noticed it was coming from a refrigerator. When they opened it, and the fact that they opened it, I mean, I'm glad they did, but anyway.
I'm kind of surprised they opened it.
I would scream. I would run away screaming if I heard a child crying.
Some kids are like that, and some kids are very investigative. Like, they have to know what's going on.
Oh, my God.
I know.
When they opened it, they saw little Augustine alive and her twin sister Mary, who unfortunately had died from what we now know was lack of oxygen. And not only that, they learned that little Mary had suffered a bite wound, later found out to be from Jackie. Augustine was able to survive only by breathing through a tiny hole that was in the refrigerator. She had to sit in there with her dying and then eventually dead twin sister in a refrigerator for 2 days while she breathed through a tiny hole.
Why did Jackie bite her?
You know, that is something I never could figure out. Because she denies everything all the way to the end.
That literally makes no sense. I'm going to bite you.
That tells me that Jackie had a very immature mind. Because that's something you would do as a child.
Yeah. I wonder if she tried to bite her. And that was the response.
Oh, bite her back?
Yeah, like Mary tried to bite Jackie.
Yeah.
So, while investigators look into the car pitcher cases, 23 days after Nima went missing, a group of kids once again make a gruesome discovery about a mile from where the car pitcher girls were found. They found the little body of Nima Carter in, you guessed it, a refrigerator, having died from lack of oxygen.
Within a mile of each other, she babysat both.
Where's she getting these refrigerators?
Just in abandoned houses. This was like a, I think, I'm not for sure, but I think it was like a low-income neighborhood. And there's just like a bunch of abandoned houses. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where they're getting this stuff. The investigation, according to Comanche County District Attorney Dick W. Tannery, the investigations of the Carpitcher girls' suffocation and Nima Carter's death in 1977 have been the most extensive in this county's history. They eventually arrest Jackie Rubidoux on the first-degree murder of Mary Carpitcher in October of 1979, over 3 years after the death of Mary and 2 years after the death of Nima.
I'm glad she at least got arrested.
But just for Mary, not Nima. We'll talk about that later.
Oh my god, okay. So, Jackie was charged as an adult, even though she was only 17 at the time of Mary's murder.
Good.
Close enough. Augustine, then 6, took the stand in court to tell everyone what Jackie did to her and her sister. The trial lasted 4 weeks, involving testimony from 64 witnesses.
Correct.
Of her abusing children?
Of everything.
Disgusting.
I don't know the trial details. I couldn't find it, but they had a lot of witnesses.
Yeah. And the judge allowed testimony about Nima's death and how similar it was. Unfortunately, this ended in a mistrial.
Punch. So, of course, when it's a mistrial, you go to a bond hearing so you can bond out while you wait for another trial or wait to be for the charges to be dropped. So, the investigators believe that this is a race crime because all three victims were of American Indian descent. Jackie was released on a $45,000 bond and lived with her mother and grandmother while awaiting her second trial. She also had a 3-year-old child. Yes, girl.
Oh my gosh.
She was pregnant. I mean, she just had the child, I think, right before she got arrested.
That's interesting to me that they think it was a race crime.
They do, yeah. And I don't know if Jackie was Indigenous American, but they were like, all three of these little girls were Indigenous American.
How old was her child when she committed the crimes?
Not born yet.
Not born yet. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the second trial would begin in 1983. This time, the judge would not allow the bite mark evidence to be let into court, citing that it wasn't conclusive evidence. They exhumed Mary's body before the second trial to make dental impressions, and they decided that the results weren't conclusive enough to submit into evidence. Well, who else bitter?
Yeah, seriously. You have like a 7-year-old adult bite mark on a child, a 3-year-old. Who else did it?
She was locked in a fridge with another 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Either the person that locked her in the fridge did it, or
or she did it, clearly. But so they didn't let it in, which sucks, but they still let in Nima, like the evidence about that.
But what in the bite mark? I don't know what that shows anyway. Just like her, that she was there maybe or something.
And like malicious.
Yeah, intent. Just being mean.
Just being, yeah, you literally can get a stronger sentence for just being mean.
Yeah.
District Judge Jack Brock, who presided over the second trial, asked the lawyers to present all witnesses within a week. He's like, let's go. Bang, bang, boom. Augustine had to, for the 13th time, recall her experience in the refrigerator to the court. This baby.
Why so many times?
You know how it is. After 6.5 hours of deliberation, a 11-man, one-woman jury found Jackie Rubidoux guilty on first-degree murder. She was sentenced to life in prison.
Good.
Good. Bye.
Yeah. Because obviously she was very likely to reoffend.
Yeah, and I'm sorry you had a child, but you'd probably kill it too.
Yeah, possibly.
Your child's better off without you because you're an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
Two children.
So the jurors said that the testimony was very conflicting, but when they boiled it down, they said they knew she was the one that did it. Jackie never stood trial for the murder of Nima Carter. Jackie and her attorneys tried to appeal her conviction, but her conviction was ultimately upheld 2-1. One of her appeals was that the evidence of Nima's death wasn't relevant, as they didn't have proof beyond a reasonable doubt that Jackie was the one that did it. But the court ruled that the evidence presented was properly introduced.
Thankfully, Jackie died in prison from cirrhosis of the liver in 2005. Love that.
Yeah, that's good.
Love that for her.
So now we're going to present some statistics from the U.S. Department of Justice. This is according to the Juvenile Justice Bulletin, a publication from September 2001 called Crimes Against Children by Babysitters.
Now let's just say, okay, this are just statistics from something in 2001. Times have changed, but this is the number one result I found. It could be different, and statistics are like, they get a group of like X amount of people, and it's not always.
Still, be careful who you let babysit your children, get background checks, drug screens, ask for references.
Right.
You know, a lot of teenagers will have references with other families.
Right. And obviously she had a reputation for being weird. She was setting off alarms. Everybody knew it was her. There were 64 witnesses. Sometimes it's not that obvious.
No.
And sometimes babysitters will kill children in even less obvious circumstances. Just by suffocating.
And it happens in daycares. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It can literally happen anywhere.
It can.
So.
I've heard of cases where, like, this one mom, she was a serial killer of her own children. She killed, like, 6 of her own kids over the course of a few years.
Oh, my gosh.
When they were babies and toddlers, and she would just, like, hold their mouth and nose shut. And they'd be like, well, it was SIDS. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Sometimes it's not so obvious. But anyway, Amber and I are going to take turns. And we're going to tell you guys a little bit about babysitters, and maybe it'll put your mind at ease a little bit. Babysitters are responsible for a relatively small portion of the reported criminal offenses against children. 4.2% of all offenses for children under age 6, less than the percentage accounted for by family members or strangers. That's low.
Yeah.
4.2% of all offenses against children.
That is.
We would want it to be 0.
Oh, yeah. But does that What if the babysitter is family? Does that count it? Do you know?
It doesn't No, really it doesn't matter. Count it. It okay. doesn't count family.
Okay. I feel like a lot of times, too, a family babysitter will abuse a child more than even a regular.
Right, that's what it was saying. It said, like, basically family members or strangers are more likely to hurt than a babysitter that you know and have hired.
Yeah. I think family members a lot.
Of course.
So, among the reported offenses that babysitters commit, sex crimes outnumber physical assaults nearly 2-1.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Why are they so common? Children most at risk of physical assaults by babysitters are younger, usually 1 to 3, and than those at risk of sex crimes, ages 3 to 5. Usually the younger you are, the more likely you are to get beat. And the older you are, obviously, the more likely you are to get sexually assaulted. However, I have seen a lot of people be arrested within the past, say, I would say 15 years. And it'll be like, man arrested after sexually assaulting his stepdaughter. And she'll be like 8 months old.
Oh, yeah.
Disgust.
Yeah, definitely. If you have children and have a boyfriend or partner, not just a boyfriend, just a partner in general, be careful leaving them.
Right. Yeah, labels aside.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just a friend with benefits, even.
Yeah, anything. Just be careful who you leave your kids with, because you never, someone that's really nice to you and seems really nice to your child could be doing anything. So, males constitute the majority of sex offending babysitters reported to the police, 77%, and females make up the majority of physical assaulters, 64%.
We're less likely to molest and more likely to beat as women.
Yeah, I feel too, a lot of women, like teenagers, that could be being physically assaulted themselves by a parent or a guardian, and that makes them believe that it's okay.
Right.
Too.
And a lot of kids are not, a lot of babysitters are not parents.
No, they're teenagers.
Yeah, and they want to beat your child because it's screaming. You know, it's sad, but that's how it happens.
I know, as a teenager, I never really babysat small babies. I babysat more like young children.
4+.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have not babysat babies, but I was much happier with the older children that could communicate with me a little bit. It's much easier as a teenager, especially to.
Of course, yeah.
Because you don't want to have to deal with screaming and crying all the time as a teenager.
Yeah, you don't know what to do.
Hard. Yeah.
You don't know what to do as an adult. You certainly don't as a teenager.
And when it's not your own kid and you're afraid, like, their, you know, parent is watching me on the baby monitor and they just hear their baby screaming and screaming and screaming.
And some babies can let out such a cry that you think they're actually being murdered.
Yes.
And so you probably think that every little scream and cry could potentially be them dying.
Yeah.
And it's scary for a teenager to babysit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to have close family and or friends you can trust.
Yes.
Juvenile offenders are responsible for nearly half of the babysitter sex crimes known to police, 48%, but only 15% of the physical assaults. That is so horrifying. That minors are more likely to sexually abuse your child than they are to hit them.
I wonder if they're more likely or if they're just more likely to be reported. Because I feel like an adult would have way more control over a child than a teenager.
Exactly.
like an adult could keep them quiet much easier than the teenage babysitter.
And a minor, if a minor is sexually abusing your children, doesn't matter if they're a babysitter or not, if they're sexually abusing their cousins or their own sibling, something is wrong.
Yes.
They're being abused somehow or something's not right.
Yes.
And they need help.
Yes. Babysitter offenses rarely result in death, but victims of babysitter crimes known to police are more likely than other child crime victims to suffer an injury, 75% versus 53% for victims under age 6.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. I feel like that was probably just because a lot of times babysitters probably don't mean to harm the child that bad.
And I know. And like, I've seen kids that will literally smash their head on the table if they don't get something they want. And it's your fault. If in their eyes, the parents' eyes, or the guardian or whatever, unless you have cameras and you work for a daycare.
Yeah, and some kids will just, they'll do everything and anything to get under your skin.
Correct.
And a lot of teens can't handle, it's a lot of stress. It's hard.
It is. We've all seen viral videos.
Yeah. And not even just teens, but just people that watch children a lot. Like maybe have a lot of time where they hear children screaming, or, you know, maybe they have a few really bad kids they watch on a regular basis that really test.
Yeah. They're under a lot of stress. It reminds me a lot of, like, healthcare workers.
Yeah. Working in a daycare and working in a nursing home, I thought were very comparable, except the nursing home was a lot more hours.
Right, right.
And harder, too, because you were dealing with end of life. That was the thing that made it harder.
Yeah, yeah. And dealing with the families is a lot different.
Yeah.
But also sometimes the same.
And a lot of times in daycares, it is so hard because the children will abuse each other.
Yes.
Like, kids are just mean to each other. And then you as the daycare provider have to tell the parent what happened and be like, you know, I'm so sorry that I couldn't get to your child in time. But you can't be like, I'm so sorry I had all these other kids. Like, that's why I couldn't get over there. I had so many kids. You know, you don't want to tell a parent that.
Yeah. And then if they come with bruises or something, and then they go home with the same bruises, and the parent's like, how did they get these? And you're like, they came with them.
Mm-hmm.
They could get reported that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you have one, or I would get kids like from school. Well, they don't come with an accident report from school for every bump and bruise or anything.
Right.
So they might say, well, I don't know when it happened. Well, then the parent's asking me, like, did it happen here? And I'm like, well, I don't think so, but I don't know. And the kid's like, well, I don't know when it happened. It could have happened at school. It could have happened here.
Yeah.
And I would have, like, grandparents, like, maybe a parent had dropped off and then a grandparent picked up and the grandparent didn't know about something.
Right.
Or,
and there's many occasions of, like, diaper rash and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you don't want blamed on you.
And a lot of times, I worked at a daycare when I was in high school, mostly. And I would, like, go in after school or during work-based learning or whatever it was called. and there would already be accident reports, but the morning teacher was gone. So I was having to give these parents a report, and literally all I could do was read what she had put on the report. And if they asked any questions, I had no clue. I didn't even get to talk to her.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sorry, but I really can't answer that. You'll have to ask her in the morning, you know. And parents do not like that. I will let you know. They do not like that answer.
No. It's hard because there are a lot, most of them are innocent.
Yeah, and it's hard too because sometimes children get hurt and you just don't see it, or and they don't really cry about it, but it does leave a mark.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard to explain. Parents want answers. You can't always give them to them, and it makes you look guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, I can't count the times where I've seen somebody I know on Facebook that puts, I need a babysitter, but I don't want anybody to watch my child because I don't trust babysitters.
Yeah.
Understandable. It is understandable because they could hurt the child. And if you're in a different state and have no family and friends, then that's when you're in a position of...
And if you're in that position, I couldn't imagine. That would be so hard.
Yeah. Even, I mean, like you said, even with your family and friends, you have to hope nothing happened while you were gone to traumatize them, to imprint on them, to change them in any way, or to hurt them.
I never, obviously, wanted to be a bad babysitter, but, like, kids get hurt.
Yeah.
They fall, they... You know, whatever. And yeah, sometimes the kids I was babysitting, I never, knock on wood, thank God, you know, all that, never had anyone get seriously injured, like where I had to call a parent or take them to a doctor or anything.
Right.
But, you know, things that I had to tell the parent, hey, like, they might tell you they fell down, you know, the last three stairs or this happened or that happened. Because it was kind of traumatizing, like, oh, I fell and hit my, you know, face or whatever.
Right.
And it's unintentional. And if you don't think about it, like, as you're leaving, if you don't think to just mention it to the parent.
Then you've screwed up.
Yeah. Then the next day, the parent is going to call you and be like, excuse me.
And then the child might be like, I fell down today, and they'd be like, Miss So-and-so didn't tell me you fell down.
Yeah.
Well, I did.
And they've already heard the child's version of events.
Yep.
Which a lot of times does happen to be exaggerated.
Dramatized, yes.
You know, and they want to show you and fling themselves around. Like they're in a tornado or something. And
getting murdered.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is you have to believe your child, but also you have to know that sometimes kids act
right
a little more than what happened.
If you are looking for a babysitter and have no options other than to hire somebody, go through an organization like care.com, get someone with references, get a background check.
Go to your local, even if your child doesn't go to daycare.
Right.
Go to daycare and
they've got ask. Right. Like, yeah.
Ask, you know, do you have any workers that do like aftercare?
Mm-hmm.
If it would be after hours of the daycare.
And if it's possible for you, I've known of parents, a lot of parents, that when they had school-age children or young children, they would work at a daycare. Then they would, I knew one lady that became a lunchroom lady to help her kids through school.
Yeah.
So you could be there with them if that's an option for you.
Yes.
Other than that, there's nothing that's going to keep your child from getting put in a refrigerator by someone like Jackie Rubidoux other than not having someone like Jackie Rubidoux. And hopefully your chances of that are extremely slim.
Yes.
And it's very, very, very rare for something like this to happen.
Yes.
As much as we like to think that the daycare workers and the babysitters are swinging your child from their skull into a tree and stuff, they're most likely not.
Yeah.
Although we do see it a lot online. See a lot of bad stuff. But
you see the bad stuff, not the good.
Correct.
So there's a lot of good that goes on behind the scenes that you don't see.
I think it's scary in both ways for the child and the babysitter. Because how many times do you hear about babysitter gets murdered? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not good. Like Evelyn Hartley, she was babysitting when she got murdered.
Yeah, and when you're babysitting too, another thing is you're kind of likely to say yes to something that maybe isn't the safest, like let's go on a hike in the woods or let's do this or do that because you want to please the child.
Yeah. Or so. What if they're like, can I have orange juice? And they're allergic. I literally used to be allergic to orange juice. I could probably convince somebody to give me orange juice. And it technically would have been their fault. But they didn't know.
Yeah, and
they're just trying to appease me.
Yeah, and sometimes parents don't think to tell, like, don't give them any of this or that or...
I think that's all I have. I mean, I have one thing for bullshit. It's just something small.
Okay.
There was a body found at the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is really close to Amber and I, under an overlook. And everyone online went crazy and were like, it's Brian laundry detergent. And it's not him. They've confirmed it's not him. So, I just wanted to give everyone an update that we are aware of that development, but it's not him. Although it is unfortunate that somebody passed away. People pass away up here all the time. This is likely to happen again, so long as they think Brian's in the Appalachian.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw somebody post Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere else, Bryson City,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that there were possible sightings.
Yeah. I mean,
there were possible sightings in a lot of places.
Yeah, they said that he might be in the Appalachian. Then they're looking at Carlton Reserve in Florida. Yeah. I'm like, that tells me y'all don't really know.
Yeah.
So
if you see something, say something. Let somebody know.
Mm-hmm.
It may be nothing, but it could be something. You never know.
Yep. And if there's anything Amber and I have taught you, it's that you can't trust literally anyone.
Very true.
So.
And we will talk to you later. Bye!
You can find Crime Cafe on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Crime Cafe Pod.
And you can email us case suggestions at crimecafepod@yahoo.com.
Click our merch link below if you want to get some Crime Cafe shirts, decals, or coffee mugs.
We also have a Goodreads profile in the show notes below. There you will find all of the books that we have mentioned or recommend on our show. It's free and no membership is required to see our library.
This episode and all of our episodes are researched, recorded, and edited by us, Corey and Amber.
All of our opinions are our own. Although we try to make these episodes as accurate as possible, some statements may be inaccurate.